What's going on, everybody? Thursday Night Destruction, episode number 4,632, or not even, like, 10. I'm not even sure the number that I'm at right now. But, yeah, threw in a little curveball there for the return of one Brock Lesnar on Raw. Everybody saw it coming. I mean, it's kind of obvious. I am a little Brock Mark, and sometimes I get a little too excited, but it's cool. I'm really excited for SummerSlam and all that stuff. As a fan, as somebody who really likes to see a lot of certain things go down in the professional wrestling world, I don't sound thrilled right now, which I should. I mean, I don't know. It's just like a chemical imbalance going on right now with myself. You know, it's getting to that point in the summer where, you know. All right, long story short, I know everybody looks forward to these rants or whatever, but I don't want to get too negative or anything like that, but these rants have become world famous, so why not keep going? It's just that over the last week, I caught a lot of shit on Monday I went down to shore with my buddy Dan, and I don't go down to shore. I'm not a shore guy. I don't like the Jersey Shore. I don't like the Guidos. I don't like the Bennies from New York coming down and pretending they own the place. I just don't like it. I don't like how every dude walks around without a shirt. Like, it's just, whatever. Girls, that's one thing. But guys, like, nah, man, come on. Like, I get it. I mean, you're on the beach, right? But some of these guys, you know, ask my buddy who was with me. Some of these guys are just 55 years old with a big, what do I call it? Hawk belly, I guess. Road Warrior Hawk, where he used to have that big little push-out belly. That's from poor diet and lots of juice. So either straighten that out or just stop altogether, because I'm sure your heart's going to stop first. But the big deal I have, and it's a little rant I went on. It wasn't even alcohol-induced. It was just pretty much sick of it. I think it was the following day, actually. But I caught a lot of stuff I was hearing, like, oh, look at this guy. He's just, I don't know, enjoying himself. He's on vacation. You know, Dave doesn't have to work. Dave doesn't have to get up early. Dave doesn't have to do this or that or the other. And you look at this guy. He gets to go to the beach on a Monday. Or he gets to do anything on a Monday. Oh, he's in a pool. He must be having a time of his life. Well, I mean, to be completely honest, what would you want me to be doing at this point of recovery? I'm searching for jobs high and low as the days go by. I didn't expect to lose my last job, okay? Those guys gave up on me. I'm not giving up on myself. I'm out there actively looking for a new employer. So, you know, my resume's out there. The calls and emails have been shot out. Now just cross fingers, hope for the best. So that's one thing. That's what I do every morning when I wake up. And then I go to 2 hours or 2.5 hours of physical therapy, which hurts like a bitch. Anybody who says that you go there and you're like, oh, you feel so much better. No, they kick your ass. They're trying to get you back in gear. So therefore, that sucks. And after that, I'll go to the gym for 2 hours, and I'll lift as heavy as I possibly can without straining the knee. So that's 4 hours, 5, 6 hours of my day every day. That's not a vacation. That sucks, actually. Like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, would I go to the gym every day anyway? Yes, of course. I'm a gym goer. I'm a gym rat, or whatever you want to call it. I like going. I like lifting. I see the progress that I'm making. Shit, man, if you knew me back in 2009, you saw the pictures. Like, I was just this blob of nothing, you know, like no muscle, just fat and eating everything in sight. I mean, I'm not skinny right now. I'm still got a nice gut going on. I mean, pictures, you know, clothing does wonders, okay? Like, I can wear a cutoff every day of the week, show the arms, show the shoulders, shit, do all that stuff. But, yeah, of course you don't see the belly. Anybody who's come to the search pool has seen the belly, okay? But, I mean, I'm making progress, but that's my everyday grind, man. And when I'm in the pool, I'm not sitting there, you know, doing the backstroke, relaxing, catching a tan. If you see me, you notice that I don't even have a tan, meaning I'm not even out enough. And I'm trying to bust my ass, rehab even more in the pool. So for anybody who thinks I have it on easy street right now, you're completely, completely in the wrong. I'm busting my ass day in and day out to get back to where I want to be. And that's in a professional wrestling ring. And that's where I just came from. And it was unbelievably awesome. Refreshing. Always, always refreshing to see some of the guys in there busting ass. Some of the girls, man. Sarah, Q, Vanity, who I saw at the gym the other day. You know, now it's coming kind of clear to me that these girls are They're surpassing some of the guys, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Hopefully something happens good for these girls, you know, with PWS or anywhere. I know Jen Vanity is booked elsewhere, you know, so she's found work. She's busting ass, you know, and of course you guys, the staples there are Dell, you know, the lifeguard, still with the PWS streak of not missing one goddamn practice. He's there all the time. I got there a little early tonight. I got there at like 5:15. I beat everybody there. There was like two guys there. Big Tommy was there lacing him up. Sarah was there. And then, you know, Dell comes in. But you know what the best part is? They always, always, always welcome me with open arms. And I talked to Mario Bacara tonight. And he, another one that's just in your ear, but always positive, you know. He tells me it took him X amount of time to get back from a torn ACL. And not to rush it, but keep coming to practice and keep learning and keep being around it. And that's actually the truth tonight. You know, I met a couple new guys, you know. You know, I probably did too much than I should have because I should just be sitting there watching. But me being me, I just want to, I don't know, I'm so excited to see these new guys that I want to be like, all right, do this. You know, I'm just excited. So my bad for getting too involved. But it was fun, man. I love seeing the guys. Bobby Wayward's there. Tommy's kicking ass. The birthday boy, CPA, was doing his thing. A couple new faces that you're going to see on the scene real quick is a kid named Javier. You know, he's busting ass. And same thing with this kid, Jesse. We call him Jesus. We call him Pinkman. We call him all sorts of shit. He's doing great things. You know, a lot of, and new faces that I've never even seen before tonight. Legit. Two new guys I've never even been in contact with. But that just shows you the expansion of the school. You know, it shows you that we're still making moves and we're still bringing in new, hungry talent. And everybody there was giving it everything they had. Like, there's no dog in it. You know, it might be 85 out today, but it's 110 in that damn gym, man. And you got the girls bitching and whining with the volleyball. And, you know, it's just there's just so much shit going on. Because finally the rec center's open, so everybody wants a piece. But it's hot in there, there's hot breath. The amount of people makes it even hotter. So, you know, kudos to these guys. I did it last 2 years ago. It was a hot gym, man. I know that feeling. I know the sweat. My sweat was sweating. I was sweating there just watching tonight. So, but it's good to get back. It's good to see those guys. I was with a good portion of them on Saturday night for Eddie from Shining Wizards, little 10-year reunion band, which, by the way, I was always, always, always against cover bands. I'm not a big fan of cover bands. I'm like, come on, man, come up with your own shit. But, hey, not going to lie, these guys kicked ass, man, and they turned me into a fan. So as soon as I can get a shirt, I'll represent you guys. So I'm always a walking billboard. I wear everybody's shirts. I'm a Shining Wizards. People are at the gym, what the hell is a Shining Wizard? I'm like, it's a podcast. And they're like, well, I thought it was a wrestling movie. I'm like, nah, it's a podcast first. So, which, by the way, I think AJ hit a Shining Wizard on Monday, or at the pay-per-view, one of those two. So, yeah, shout out to my friends over at the Shining Wizards. Yeah, so Saturday night was great. Getting there tonight was awesome. You know, I love seeing these guys, man. They're hard workers. They got a big 30 men over the top, on-the-spot title shot battle royal at PWS All Fired Up. And I know that these guys, if they keep busting ass, that countdown's going to happen. And then, boom, here they are, you know, making their debut, making their own entrance, making their own, that rush. It's going to hit them just like it hit me, just like it hit anybody else. I mean, just as a reason, man, we had one in March, the on-the-spot thing. February. And when I came out, you know, Big O brought me out, and I came out. I still got video on my phone, and it's a rush, man. I go in there, and unfortunately, the first one I run into was Dan Moff, and I was like, shit, now what? So, but yeah, man, so PWS making moves, All Fired Up is, it just keeps getting stacked, you know, I mean, news and news and news. We have Larry Johnson coming in, I mentioned that last week. 1031 show is going to be out of control. I do know that there's November and December have dates. We already got dates in the works for next year already, you know? So, I mean, these big things are happening. It's just a matter of time before PWS just – they're already on the map, but they're going to just explode. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to come out of nowhere and just hit you before you even know it. Like, it's just going to come out of left field. You know, I understand it. And this is funny because I was talking to Jay Silva of 2.5 Wrestlers the other day, And he said, how do you not know about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla? And like, I know of them. I don't educate myself on the indies so much. I don't. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, I don't know. I've always been a WWE guy, you know, or WCW or ECW or whatever, the stuff on TV, you know. So I never followed the indies. But I know that it's a spot fest out there, and people are just jumping over everything and just crazy good wrestling. And then you got Evolve, and down south you got the Monster Factory and the CZW death things and matches and blood everywhere. You know, so I wasn't really educated. But I am now, but I just think that on a production value, as far as the stage, the Tron videos, the ring, the lights, the atmosphere, it's PWS, man. Like, it's just, and I'm not saying it because I work with them or you know, in the future or in the past. I've worked other places, and some places are just complete dog shit. One place shut their doors and reopened them and shut them down, and they're gonna feel the heat, brother. So. Oh, yeah, don't forget. I haven't forgot about you, clown. But I'm not even going to touch on that this week because that's exactly what he is. He's a clown. And I heard you pump gas. Oh, my God. Please stop. I mean, hey, kudos to you. You're employed and I'm not, so whatever. Running down some WWE stuff. Again, I opened the show. Brock Lesnar's back going against John Cena. Of course, they gotta sell. I know everybody's 6-month subscriptions are coming up on the network, so you got to renew, right, or something? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to renew automatically or they're just going to bang my credit card every month. I have no idea. But I know they got to keep coming with new, fresh ideas. You know, so the Brock Cena thing, yeah, a lot of people are like, again? Why again? Why has it got to be for the title? Well, because it has to be, man. Of course. It's your champion versus the unstoppable Brock Lesnar. So, of course, they're going to run with that. The fans are going to, and this is a segue into my favorite part of Raw was the opening. You know, Triple H, man, you hit it right on the head. Hunter hit it right on the head, and this is something I've actually wrote about on my Facebook plenty of times, that you're still going to watch, regardless of how pissed off and ignorant and just upset and, wah, I don't like the product on TV. It's, I'll never watch again. I'm turning it off. You're not. You're DVRing it, and you're watching it again and again and again until the next show's on. So stop. Again, Triple H hit it right in the head. He even says he watches Raw with his friend Mark. And I, just like Eric said on his face, I lost my shit. I was like, he just called all of you Marks. So that's that. Pause to take a little jug of water. I've been drinking way too much water lately. So we have a, I guess I was going to take, well, I'm waiting for Neem, but I'll take my first caller. I mean, obviously, Neem is not on yet. Thursday Night Destruction, how can I help you? Hello? All right, 610 number? No? Cool. Just calling in to listen, or well, now you're not going to listen anymore, so that's good. You out. Anyway, so back to WWE. Yeah, so, I mean, Triple H's speech just knocked it out of the park. I loved it. It was friggin' phenomenal. Yeah, so tonight we have a really cool show. We do have my friend Neem coming on. He is a movie producer. He is an editor-in-chief. He is... a husband. He's everything. He's the well-rounded force that is Neem. He's got his own production company. He's got, it's just the list goes on and on and on. And I'm still curious to know how this all came about. So clearly, once he calls on, we'll get the story. We'll get the update on all his movies. The movie that I'm going to be participating in eventually in August, Repentance. And he's also going another movie called Home Invasion. Before that, he was producer of 10 Buck Baton, which is a very interesting concept. We'll get more on that when he gets on. But yeah, that's going to be great. He's going to call in. The lines are going to be open. You're more than welcome to call in for him, for me. It doesn't matter. And that's that. So, but as far as sports, my Yankees. How about them Yankees, huh? 6-1 since the All-Star break. They're piecing together wins, which is great because, shit, we need them now. Scrap them together. If that's the way you got to do it, that's the way you got to do it. Yeah, so that's that. But so 6-1. The pitching sucks. I mean, they lost Tanaka. They lost CeCe. So, I mean, it is what it is. We'll see what happens with them. And they got a couple tougher opponents ahead coming up. So that be that. So with that being said, I'm going to bring on the guest of the hour because nothing better than a little Neem action. Neem, what's going on, brother?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're
Thanks
doing
for having
great,
me on,
man.
bro. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for coming on. You know, I've been told week in and week out, like, oh my God, what are you going to talk about now that there's no indie shows? You know, so I was like, I don't know, what the hell am I going to talk about? So it's a refresher and a different change of pace to bring you on. Again, I was introducing and singing your praises right before you called, telling the world of that you are probably one of the most busiest men in this world right now. For anybody, and including myself, who wants to be educated, how, basically the 4 W's, 5 W's, like who, what, where, when, and how, why cinema? What got you into this? Like, tell the world your background.
Man, you know, it's all kind of accidental in a way. You know, my background is in writing, so I loved to write. I always loved to write, and then, you know, I eventually in college took a screenwriting course and just got in my blood, and my professor who kind of mentored me, still until today we keep in touch and work on a script together, he's an Emmy Award winning writer. He wrote for the Joan Rivers show way back, you know, before our time, before most of our listeners' time, I'm sure. But
yeah.
So he kind of mentored me and stuff. And so my background was in writing initially. I've always loved film, but as far as me being behind the camera and whatnot, that came more later on with the 10 Buck Baton. I reached out to a friend of mine that I knew strictly on a social level. It wasn't a business level at all. His name is Mike Brochu. He's this, you know, really prolific photographer. And I told him, I said, hey, I got this really great script. I know you've worked with a lot of people, Playboy models and Maxim models and, you know, men and women from all walks of the industry. And I thought, I got a couple of people attached to this script, and, you know, maybe you can attach a couple other people that you know. I think it's pretty terrific. See what you think. And, you know, maybe with some stars attached to it, we can pitch it to some indie studios or whatnot. And he read it. He loved it. We, you know, one thing led to another. We decided, hey, you know, let's make this movie ourselves. And we each brought our strengths to the table. And then we brought on our co-producer, Oscar Maya, and formed Montage Cinema, which is our company now, which is still going strong. And I directed the film. Mike was director of photography. Oscar produced it. We made it happen. And, you know, a few film festivals and a few awards later, and now, you know, everyone's eyes are open, and here we are, you know, still making movies, and I'm still behind that camera, man. So it's been a hell of a ride. It's been really exciting.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know, and just educate myself too, because I've only seen, I think, the trailer. And like, shame on me for not seeing the thing. I don't know how to go about seeing it. But the 10 Buck Baton script or concept, where the hell did you come up with that? Like, that's like watching the trailer, it's like, wow, you know, that's pretty goddamn interesting. Like, who just sparked that idea where, you know what, like, let's follow a $10 bill around. You know what I mean? Like, that's actually really creative.
Yeah, well, I was on the, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, and I was on the subway from Manhattan to Brooklyn going home. So it wasn't like this, here again, accidental, right? You know, I always tell people, I wish I had more exciting stories. I have to come up with lies. Really exciting stories. I come up with these things, because it was really just simply, I'm sitting on the subway, I think by Atlantic Avenue, and I saw a guy give another guy money. I guess the guy said, maybe, you know, spot me a couple bucks or whatever. He was just standing by the door talking. He gave him money and he left. And I don't know, I just kind of got this idea, like, Bill, where is that guy going? Like, what's he going to go do? And, you know, and then he's going to go and he's going to spend it. And, like, if that Bill can talk, like, how many stories can it tell? And I just started jotting down ideas. I still have the piece of paper that I started, you know, I'm kind of old school. I like to, like, kind of write stuff down. And the piece of paper with all the gibberish that I wrote down and all the ideas and all the concepts. And eventually kind of became kind of like this sort of, you know, a lot of the fans of the film, and I don't think there's a bigger compliment than this, but they kind of compare it to a Seinfeld or a Tarantino thing, in that there's all these things and they kind of you know, they tie together, and, you know, later on you're like, oh, my God, that's that guy from the beginning, and how did he get there? And so, yeah, so we kind of just follow this $10 bill, and every time the bill changes hands, we follow that person. And, people really responded to it, man. I mean, you never know. I mean, you do, I mean, you're a creator yourself, and you always know. It's like you go out there, you do something, and you don't know who's going to like it, and people really responded to it. I mean, we won a number of awards, including the best feature film, the New York LA International Film Festival. We also won the Audience Award, which to me is kind of really cool. It's like winning, it's a much smaller version of winning, an Oscar and the People's Choice. You know, it's like you won the Suits gave you the award, but also the people chose you the best film. So that was very cool for me. In a way, I kind of like the Audience Award even better because it was like the people picked it,
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the concept came up from. And I just kind of like just started thinking about where the bill comes from, and the little shorts, the stories that intertwine were just kind of like out of my crazy warped head.
Now, all right. Now, for anybody who obviously hasn't seen it, like myself, is there a way at this point? I mean, if there's not, there's not. But is there a way at this point that people can actually see this film?
Well, we're looking at distribution on Amazon and sites like that. So stay tuned. But in the meantime, people can go to youtube.com/10buckbaton. I think also 10buckbaton.com redirects there. So it's TenBuckBaton. And they'll see the trailer and they'll see a crap load of behind-the-scenes stuff that's, a lot of fun. And, but again, the primary thing is they'll see the trailer, kind of whet their appetites, and just follow me on social media, Instagram and Twitter. It's at Neem Basha, so it's NEEM_BASHA. And I will be sure to let everyone know when it's available on for purchase, because a lot of people are actually asking, and I'm really humbled by that support. I mean, you have people telling you, hey, I want your product. When is it going to be out? Like, people are demanding it, and that's really, really cool. And so, it's Neem_Basha. Follow me there, and you'll definitely be the first people to know when it's out. So,
that's very cool, man. So now, obviously, the movie, I mean, in itself was an awesome concept. But for anybody, before we get into your new projects and what's going on currently in your life, I mean, you're a writer by trade. You said that was your first love, and then you obviously took the screenwriting class. You fell in love with that realm. How exactly, like, what goes into getting the movie? You know what I mean? Like, I know it's probably a story you could probably tell all day, but, like, in a nutshell, how do you make a movie, man? Like, how do you just, like, say, okay, you know what? This is my concept. This is my idea. I'm going to put it on paper. Now it's what? You got to cast. You got to get the equipment. You got to get the scenery. You got to get, you know what I mean? Like, what goes into all that?
A lot. And I could have done it without my partners. I mean, Mike, he had a truckload of he had the equipment, and he actually, bought additional equipment when we were shooting. And Oscar got a great background. He's the VP of talent for Frontline Entertainment Agency based out of Jersey. So he's got, years worth of background in the industry, and we all brought our strengths, So Oscar worked with a lot of talent, and we casted, his agency casted the film. And as far as locations, we kind of went the grassroots route with that in terms of locations. Man, we actually just visited locations. Every location was authentic. The bank was real. The strip club was real. The car dealership was real. Like, everything was at an actual location. Nothing was a sort of a studio, obviously, because, wasn't like at a back lot like you might see in a Hollywood studio picture, because this is an indie film. If you want to look real, it's got to be real.
Yeah.
And so, we went the grassroots route, man. We went to friends and said, hey, I want to shoot in your car dealership, or we would visit a bank. And I mean, the bank story was actually probably the best story, because we had a bank lined up, and couple of days before, they flaked on us. Mm. So we visited this other bank and said, hey, you know. And meanwhile, we've got an actor coming from L.A. We've got cop car there for the scene. You know, we've got everything lined up for the scene, but now we don't have the location because the guy walks out of the bank and he's supposed to get mugged and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So we went to this other bank in Brooklyn, Marathon Bank, and we said, hey, listen, you know, we want to do this movie. Like, oh, let us think about it. When do you guys want to do it? We're like, Sunday. Like, this Sunday, we're like, yeah, we got everything lined up. We want to shoot on Sunday. They're like, well, it's like Wednesday now. Like, you know, and obviously the bank doesn't open on Sunday. But they were super cool. I talked to the branch manager and the president and whatnot, and they accommodated us, and they opened the bank on Sunday for us, you know. And, you know, we haven't forgotten a single person who helped us out along the way, and you know, we still continue to give them exposure and whatnot. And, yeah, so basically as far as the equipment, the locations, the casting, you know, that all came from our strengths. As far as actually getting down and dirty and directing and making the film, you know, it kind of came naturally to me. You know, I had a lot to learn. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, it just came naturally in that, you know, first day, and I was man. I mean, I still look back now and see, you know, the film and see like that some mistakes that I know I made that a viewer may not pick up on, but like I look at it, I'm like, that sucks. But it, you know, it came relatively naturally to me in terms of creating that vision and working with these actors and directing these actors. And honestly, I don't know how we did it. I mean, it was a feature film. It was the first time we all worked together. It was a feature. It wasn't a short film. It wasn't a music video. It was a feature film that took months upon months to create. It was very involved, you know, after, you know, post-production, you know, the editing. We had an awesome editor, Carlos Berrios, and, you know, we had to redo a lot of the sound in the studio because the sound was shitty because you're out in the street shooting and trucks are passing by. I mean, there's so much involved, man.
Yeah,
the fact that it got done was, you know, victory as far as I was concerned. Like, I was like, you know, so proud of my, and then, you know, there's so many, Dave, there's so many, and, you know, I mean, this, you'd have to be in the industry to know this. I mean, it's something that people probably know, common knowledge. There's probably tens of thousands of scripts written every year. And of those tens and tens of thousands of scripts, you know, a handful get made, man. And those that get made, even fewer than those get anywhere. So for me, not only to finish the film, and that right there, for me, I was like, you know what, I did it. You know, we did it. My team, we all did it. And then for it to get into film festivals, like, we got accepted to one, and it was like, oh, that's cool, okay, and then we got accepted to another, and then another, and another, and then, okay, award, and award. And it's like, this is happening right now. Like, holy shit, you know, it's an unbelievable feeling, and it's a high that I don't think I'm ever going to come down from. You know, it's something that is, you know, indescribable. And, you know, people tell me, I can't imagine what it's like. You write a script and then now it's a movie. And I'm like, I did it, and I still have a hard time grasping it. So
it just seems like it's headache after headache after headache. But at the end of it, it's like that ultimate satisfaction of like, yes, it's over and it's on the screen and there it is. But it's just, I mean, that seems friggin' cool. It seems like it's grueling. It seems like it's like the biggest pain in the ass, but it's also, it seems like it'll be the most rewarding pain in the ass when it's all said and done. Segue into what's going on right now. Now, how long ago was it that 10 Buck Baton was released? When did you get finished with all that? What year was that?
Well, we got finished with all that 2000, I want to say like December 2012 into January 2013 was when it was in the can.
Okay.
No more editing, no more nothing, done. And then 2013 was when we were touring the festival circuit. As a matter of fact, a little into 2014, we did that screening in March at the New York Film Academy, which was a huge honor. I mean, one of the biggest schools in the country saying, hey, we like your film. We want to screen it for our students, and we want you to do Q&A after.
That's pretty badass.
Between 2013 and 2014 was when we were touring the festival circuit. As you know, we went down to Atlanta for a film festival. You know, there was a roller coaster ride. So that's when that was released.
Now, after that, now you're going on this roller coaster ride. You're going to different places and screenings and you know the New York thing, and it's all happening. So now, who gets the itch to say, you know what, that was awesome, but let's make two more movies. You know what I mean? Like not just one, but now you're simultaneously making two. Like I can understand it going into like how much it goes into making one movie. But how in the hell are you swinging this where you're making two movies, one entitled Repentance, one entitled Home Invasion? What's that been like? I mean, doing two things at once.
And the music video, but who's counting, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw pictures from the music video. That seems like it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, and you got to know this, you know, I'm sure you have an unscratchable itch to get back in the ring, and that's kind of how it feels to get back behind the cameras for me whenever I'm not, whenever I'm in, you know, in between projects. And Repentance actually happened based on the strength of 10 Buck Baton. Again, like I said, people's eyes were open, and someone came to me. Who had seen the film, a gentleman by the name of Greg Arden. He's got, he owns Arden Street Science Gym in Brooklyn. And he came and he said, listen, I want to do a film, based around the gym, something having to do with the gym. I'll leave the creativity up to you, but I want to do something there. And, you know, he's going to executive produce the film and whatnot. And, but as far as creative, will be on me and, as far as the script, and then we'll cast and we'll do everything that we only did. So I wrote the script, and you know, he loved it. It's a little bit different. I had some of the actors from Ten Buck come and audition, as a matter of fact, for Repentance, and they were like, "You wrote this?" They're like, "Yeah." Like, "This is great, but it's not funny." Like Ten Buck was hilarious. I'm like, "Yeah, this is not a comedy. This is very dark."
Now, what is I'm not trying to cut you off, but like, what is the story behind Repentance? What are people going to be expecting to see?
Well, Repentance is a story about, like I said, he came. He wanted to do something about the gym, but I'm a storyteller, you know. So I didn't want it just to be okay. Hey, let's shoot in the gym, have people fight, so he can get, you know, just to give this guy his gym, get exposure and whatever. I wanted to build it around something. So there's the huge climax, and a good bulk of the film is going to be at the gym, and it's still going to be kind of a boxing-ish sort of tale, but it's a lot deeper than that. And basically, Repentance is about a guy, Haskell Reed, who's played by Berto Colon, who is actually a recurring guest star in Orange is the New Black. And as a matter of fact, he's actually flip-flopping now. Like, he shoots with us some days, and then other days he's also shooting Orange is the New Black season 3. So Haskell Reed, Alberto plays Haskell Reed, who comes out of prison and is, like a lot of people who come out of prison, mistreated and shunned by a lot of people in his neighborhood and in society in general, because they know what he's done. And initially in the film, we don't know what he did. But, well, you know, we kind of feel bad for the guy who's getting treated, you know, some kind of way because of, you know, crime that he had committed and paid his debt for and repented and, you know, literally and figuratively repented, and, you know, between him and, you know, spiritually he repented and emotionally and everything. But people don't want to give him another chance. And he goes, and eventually he goes and he finds solace in this gym, his last resort, after everybody kind of turns him away. He goes to the gym that he worked out at, and they kind of welcome him back. Among the people at the gym that welcome him back is Greg is going to be playing himself. We got Alubis, the manager, going to be played by Cypher Sounds from Hot 97. Eddie, played by Giovanni Oliveira, and these guys welcome him back. But he's not done, and he still has to face his past in the gym, which is kind of where the raging climax comes in. And, the words of Alfred Hitchcock, I can't give away the ending because it's the only one we've got, but it's quite the climax. And people are going to really walk away with feeling just torn because, it's like we do as a society kind of judge people and I hate to use the word hate, but it's a strong word, but kind of hate them because of their involvement in crime. But now you're seeing the human side of it. Instead of just seeing him as a mugshot and the news, oh, this guy did this, you're seeing him, the person, the human side of it. You're seeing the reason behind why he did what he did. And you are kind of feeling bad for him. So you're kind of torn, so you don't really know whose side to take. So there's really a lot of gray areas. And so I think people are really going to dig in. People are really going to take something away from it.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, obviously, you're doing that and another movie with a buddy of mine, Michael Leiter, Home Invasion. Does the title kind of give it away, or is that basically what we're looking at here? Somebody's breaking into somebody's house and whatever. What's that all about?
Somebody's breaking into somebody's house. A couple of guys, Mike Leiter being one of them, who super talented. And between you and me and everyone who's listening, he's so talented that I literally wrote that role for him. I had no intention of casting anyone else for that role. Like, I wrote it with Mike Leiter in mind. Tarantino writes for Sam Jackson. I write with Mike Leiter. What can I tell you?
Kid's got talent, man. He's an interesting fellow.
He's very talented. Yeah. And so there's a couple. They're in the middle of a domestic dispute. She's accusing him of cheating on her. He's denying it. They're going back and forth, and all of a sudden, here come these home invaders to rob them. So now here they are. They're dealing with their domestic issue, and now they're dealing with these invaders, to a point where the woman is so angry with her husband that she doesn't even, at one point she says, I don't really even, get your guns out of my face. I don't even care about that. Seeing my husband get ready to go meet another woman is worse than any home invasion you can do. So she's fed up with the husband. He's denying vehemently, and now you got this other factor with the home invaders there. So they got to kind of work out their issues with this X factor going on with these invaders. But here again, and everyone who has seen Tembuk-Patan, everyone who's familiar with my writing, there's quite a bit of twists along the way. And again, the climb to the ending is pretty. Pretty rocking, and not going to see it coming. But at the end of the day, it's a really so that's the concept behind it. You got family fighting, you got this home invasion going on, and something's got to give. So we're shooting them concurrently, and that's what's going on.
That's some crazy, crazy shit, man. I mean, I can't get enough of it. I do want to touch on more things, but I got somebody who's calling in. I don't know who it is. Obviously, sometimes you just see a number crossover. Obviously, it could be a question for you. It could be a question for me. I'm not sure. A 917 number. This is Dave Destruction with Neem. Who's this?
Hi, my name is David.
Hi, David. What's going on, man?
How you doing? I wanted to ask you, and I'm always curious with directors and writers. When you write a movie and then you go to and you see people watching it and the reactions, and they like the movie. How does that how does that play with your emotions? I mean, how do you feel when someone likes the movie and walks up to you and makes a positive comment about it?
Man, that's the best feeling in the world. It's funny you should ask that, Dave, because the first time it was on the big screen, I'm sitting there in the Clearview Cinemas, watching this film, people are chomping popcorn watching my movie on a 2,100 square foot screen, and I'm, and obviously I know what's coming. I know when the jokes are coming. I know, and every time I know something's coming up, I brace myself. And I'm like, because the worst thing for a comedian is sometimes they don't laugh. And so I'm great, and then they erupt in laughter, and the movie theater erupts in laughter, like every single time, and it just felt really, really great, man. We'll come up to you and compliment you on your work. that never gets old. It's really, you know, people until today, they write me, they compliment me on my work, and you know, that doesn't get old, man. I mean, that's really the kind of feedback that you want to hear. To know that it's sincere, to be sitting in that movie theater and know that, you know, the difference between polite applause and like that real rocking laughter, and people really appreciated the film. So that's an immeasurable feeling, man. I can't speak enough about it. So,
well, I appreciate that. I'm definitely looking forward to the, you know, to the movie. I'm really excited to see it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right,
appreciate
buddy. Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you very much for the call, Dave. Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. I was going to touch on that. Like, when you're watching your own movie, it's kind of like, and I'm not trying to segue into pro wrestling here, but I'm saying, like, Shawn Michaels said it best, that once you come out of that curtain and you bust through that curtain, you need a reaction. You know what I mean? Like, you need something. Either they're going to hate you and boo you and throw shit at you, or they're going to cheer you and cry in happiness because you're coming out. I guess in the movie world, it's better to see the positive reaction. I know, have you faced any, I guess, with 10 Buck Baton, and obviously nobody knows much about the movies going on now because they're very, very early stages of filming, but like, have you heard any of, like, I guess, quote, haters, and how do you deal with that? Like, being we're all touchy. I mean, wrestlers are divas, and I know you guys have your own feelings too, so how do you actually cope with the naysayers and the negative?
Well, you know, it's easier now because of the fact that the movie got such a positive response. So when you have such validation, no movie, whether it's an indie film that, you know, or it costs $1 billion to make, no movie is going to satisfy everyone. And I get that. You have to go in knowing that. You have to go in knowing that this is not for everyone. And, you know, take films like, I don't know, Dumb and Dumber, or that some people love, some people hate. Now, doesn't mean it's a bad film. You just, that's not what you like. So you have to kind of be okay with that. But it's hard to be, it would be hard to be okay with people not liking it if I didn't get the validation that I got from the film festivals, from the awards, from, and most importantly, from being in the theater and hearing the people roar. You know, I do pan the audience when I'm in a film, and I do see who's kind of sitting there on their hands, and there have been instances of that. Some people may just not like that kind of humor. But it's easier to swallow that when you have, you know, an overwhelming majority of people that they do like it. If it didn't get, you know, accepted to any festivals or whatever, and I said, hey, Dave, why don't you and a couple of buddies come over to the house and watch this movie I did, watch it on DVD, and you guys sat there with your, you know, I don't, and didn't laugh or anything, I probably would, you know, have a hard time kind of handling that, even though, like, I'm proud that I finished the project, but I want people to like it. So now that the overwhelming majority of people and festival judges and whatnot seem to like it, it's easier to handle the haters. But it's always positive reactions that I've gotten. I think most people, if they don't, you know, have anything nice to say, no, you got to be really like the scum of the earth to come to me specifically to tell me I hated your movie. Like, no one's going to do that. They hate.
Well,
it,
no.
So,
well, no. I'm talking about like you've seen the forums. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right. For instance, you see like a story on WrestleZone.com or some kind of wrestling website or anything for that matter. Could be a movie.
Right.
But you'll see like these forums where people will just trash it to shit. And it's like, what are you like? I get everybody's got their flavor, but God, like, you know, let it go, man. You know, like some of these guys are just like, I'll never watch this shit again, blah, 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 blah. You know, so like, I guess, I mean, yeah, considering the success of 10 Buck Baton, you're not going to see a lot of the hate, and maybe it'll kind of get overshadowed by all the positivity, which, you know, which is great, you know, obviously. But, you know, I guess you're right. Everybody has their flavor, and you'll just have to deal with it the way you dealt with it. But that's actually pretty badass that you sat in a theater and you got to watch people laugh at your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy it. Like, I'm out there doing what I'm doing, and I'm hoping to God I get reactions, because if you don't, it's like, oh, shit. You're going to go to the locker room, and you're going to say, well, that sucked. You know what I mean? And then, like, I'll show people like videos of me wrestling, and if they're not impressed, it's like, shit. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, okay, I guess it's not your flavor, or I suck, or something like that. But I guess it's in the business and entertainment world of this all, considering both movies and wrestling, I guess it's easy to take some on the chin when there's so much good that's already followed it. So kudos to you on that. And but all right,
yours is harder, man. You know, I don't know how you guys do it, because like if they're shitting on you and you have to finish this match, like what do you do? But you know, it's tougher. I mean, you know, it's a lot
you know
tougher. It's live theater, man.
Yeah, I want to get to the point where on that Shawn Michaels level where I remember those matches, and I've watched way too much shit over the last couple of months recovering, so like I've seen this. But like Shawn Michaels will have somebody in a chin lock or something really boring, and people will start chanting boring, you know. And then you're like, you're chanting boring to Shawn Michaels. He looks at the crowd and says, "I'm boring." Like I've seen him say, "Like I'm boring." Okay, and then just continues the chin lock, you know. So like you have that confidence that you don't give a shit. They paid customers, and they do what they want. Me being only 2 years in, I'm hoping to God that I get some kind of good reaction, either boos or cheers or whatever. But yeah, live entertainment is just a little different. But the movies itself, like Repentance and Home Invasion, I'm excited for them, you know. And I've been trying to tell people that I'm going to be in one of these scenes, so I'm excited about that. I want to be on set. I want to see how this all actually works. You know, I've loved theater and I've loved the movies ever since I could sit in a movie. I can tell you right now, my first movie was No Holds Barred with my dad, of course, and he wonders why I love wrestling the way I do. He decided to want me to put me in a shitty situation to watch Zeus and Hulk Hogan do battle. But with that being said, we have another caller. Hopefully it's for you, because I got nothing tonight. So 718 number, you're on with Dave Destruction, and you're also on with Neem. Who am I talking to?
Andrew.
Oh, sorry. Say it again.
It's Andrew.
Andrew, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Andrew.
Good. How are you? Hey, how
good,
are
good.
You? All right.
Shoot.
Well, I just wanted to, first of all, I've been following you for a little bit, Neem, and I just want to say congratulations, man. You've been doing a great job. I really wanted to find out, first of all, how long did it take you to put 10 bucks together?
Now, you say you've been following me. Have you actually seen 10 bucks?
I did. Actually, I got to see it in New Jersey, in the Bergen Festival.
The Bergen Field, the Bergen Field Film Festival, the Clearview Cinema is the one I just referenced. Cool. Thank you for that. Yeah, it took, man, 2011, January 2011 was the day we started casting. And we finished production. Keep it in mind now, everybody that's doing this has, you know, day jobs. So it's not like we can just say, okay, 2 months, let's just knock this out, you know, 2 months in a row, you know. So we're trying to balance around people's day jobs. And, you know, and as you saw, Andrew, the ensemble of 10 Buck Baton was quite a few people. I mean, Dave, you never saw the film, but you can imagine we're following this $10 bill, so you can imagine there's quite a few characters. I mean, there's about 60 speaking parts, from a guy who has, like, one line to obviously the main characters. Not everyone has, you know, but there's a lot of parts. So we're trying to coordinate these actors, trying to coordinate the locations, everything. So it went well into the fall. You know, I'd say we probably shot around 35, 40 days total, but, I mean, scattered around. So it went to the fall. And then from there, post-production took most of 2012 as far as editing and then putting the sound, you know, fixing up the sound and whatnot. So I want to say, you know, all together between, you know, stops and starts, day job, et cetera, about 18 months to 2 years.
Wow.
Before
Jesus
it was in the can.
Yeah,
right, yeah, yeah, man. We're balancing 50 different things, so, you know.
Now, I was talking to a couple of the cast members, and as far as I understood from them, the beginning scene where the cops are in that alleyway with the muggers.
Right.
They were saying that those two never met. Is that? Or
right.
But they were in the scene together.
I assume you were talking to Jonathan Dwight, actor that plays Barry. Right.
Yeah, Dave, this is actually, you know, I'm glad Andrew brought this up. It's actually an interesting story. So here we are. We're on set. We got this actor from L.A. The second time he's there, we don't want to bring – he's leaving the next day. We don't want to bring him out again. We got the cop car there. We got, you know, everything's ready to go. The guy's supposed to come out of the bank. Now, we already shot the interior bank. This is him just coming out of the bank. He gets mugged. The cops pull up to save him. All of a sudden, one of the cops, Barry, Jonathan Dwyer, who plays Barry, calls us and says, his mother actually calls us to tell us that he got into an accident and he's in the hospital. And so, you know, obviously I'm thinking, A, is he okay? And B, can he finish the film? And, you know, I will admit that my concerns were not necessarily in that order, but, you know, because I do have a movie to finish, and he shot a bunch of scenes, and he's one of the leads, and I was like, is he going to finish this movie? He wound up being able to finish it, but that day, I'm like, okay, he's supposed to pull up with the other cop, and they're supposed to go after the mugger, and so I do some rewrites, Dave, and I'm like, okay, give me some time to think. So I go off into pizzeria, and I sit down, and I'm doing some rewrites, and I rewrite the interactions between the characters. Barry was supposed to interact with Cliff, the guy who got mugged. In the end, I wound up having the other guy talk to him, and they were talking to just something off-camera being Barry. And even when they were in the alleyway, they were, when you see the film, they're the characters are like 2 feet apart in the alleyway. But the way I shot it, I shot like the other cop and Cliff, and then when Barry was better, we brought him over. The other actor was already in L.A. We brought him over, shot his stuff, and when you piece it all together, it looks like they were there, but they've never met. And but they're in this very intimate setting together, like literally they're 3 feet apart in an alleyway, and they're talking to each other, and we just had body doubles there to kind of give them their eye line so they can see what they're... But we shot everything with Barry on his own and with the other cop. The muggers weren't there. Cliff wasn't there. Nobody was there when we, except for the two cops, when we did the scene with Barry and he finally came out of the hospital. And that, but that day when he couldn't come, I was like, we have a cop car here. You know, we got the actor here. Like, what did we do? It wasn't even like a regular day where we just had everybody go home, we'll shoot another time. There were a number of X factors that made it impossible for us to just do this particular scene another day without flying the actor back from L.A. and all that. We didn't want to do that, so made it happen. And magic of movie making, they're having a conversation in the alleyway, but not really.
Wow.
That is pretty damn interesting. I'm fascinated by all this. I'm fascinated.
Well, I just want to say, Neem, congratulations, first of all, and you know, you kept me interested, a guy who barely watches movies, kept me very interested in the movie, man, and congratulations, and best of luck to you. I know you're working on a few different projects. Good luck, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much, Andrew, for the call. I appreciate that. And, Neem, this is turning into the Neem Show, man. I don't have to do shit tonight. This is awesome. This is the easiest thing I've ever done. No, but that's awesome. It's great to see the following and people that are actually into your movies and following your progress. And if only I can get fans to follow my whole progress, that'd be great.
So, yeah, you do. I see it all the time. People like you. People love your work. As far as you being in the film, yeah, man. You know, for people that don't know, Dave and I do have a working relationship. I don't want to commandeer the show. I'm sorry if you had something to talk about. I was going to start talking about how wonderful you are, you know, if that's all right.
Oh,
you know?
By all means, bro. By all means. Go for it.
So Dave is, you know, he and I, you know, we have a relationship, you know, we kind of, you know, we go to the neighborhood bar and, you know, we're buddies and, you know, but I've kind of, you know, we've been following each other professionally for a little while. I've been following what he's been doing with PWS. And, I came to him. I said, "Listen, man, I'm the editor in chief of Institute Magazine. It's awesome fashion and entertainment magazine. It's really on the rise. And I think, you know, I like what you guys are doing, man, and I like to use my magazine, you know, as a platform to, you know, to elevate people. I mean, actually, John Shoemate, the publisher, and Joe Nunez, and they're great guys, and it was my film that actually put me in the limelight, but, you know, they actually featured me in the magazine, and that's when they, when John, in conjunction with seeing the film, said, oh, man, I love your writing. It's witty, you know, come back to the magazine. A couple of months later, here I am, the editor-in-chief, because, you know, I go all in. So all of a sudden now, you know, he saw my commitment, and, you know, I really, you know, obviously appreciate that. And I like to pass that along. If there's something that fits it within the magazine that I can do for other people that would also, I think, you know, bring something to the table for the magazine, I want to do it. So with PWS, I said, hey, let me feature this company. You guys are doing great things. And in conjunction with doing that, I happened to mention to Dave that, you know, I'm looking for a fitness writer. And he said, you know, well, I write. And I said, you're a wrestler, bro. And he said, yeah, but I write. And I said, all right. I said, well, my son, you're writing.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. Yes, I wrestle, but yes, I write. I used to do this shit.
Right. Like, you're a wrestler. Like, do you even know how to read? No,
most of us don't, so that's okay.
So I get the writing sample. He's terrific, and he's been my fitness writer since late 2013. Dave's involved in a lot of stuff. So yeah, so definitely when we're doing a boxing scene, and Dave's going to come and kind of be part of it and kind of be one of the grapplers and being part of this big production. And you're an entertainer as it is. I mean, you know, you go out there and you do it. So, you know, you do it live. So I'm sure you can do it with stops and starts and take one and take two and take three and take four. So,
well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but in fifth grade I did win most dramatic. So I knew right there that something was going to give. I don't know what some people are talking about. They call me dramatic. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's just weird. So that's being that.
Fifth
but yeah,
grade I played curly in Oklahoma in school play. So, yeah.
There you go, man. See, it all starts somewhere, man. But yeah, man. I'm excited to get up to Brooklyn and see how this is all created, because I definitely want to, you know, it's something I've been dying to do. So when you told me there was a reschedule, I was like, oh, son of a bitch. But it turned out that I had a great show last week with my guests, you know. So whenever you're ready, you tell me. I'm getting better by the day as far as knee. I could probably do a little more down the road, so that's fun. I can't wait for that. So speaking of the magazine that you made mention to, yes, I do write in the magazine, and I'm having a great time doing it. And it's gotten bigger, you know. Like I could see the following that the magazine gets, and I'm excited about it. And I do own a couple of the hard copies, and I appreciate all you've done for me as far as getting me on the map and making me a published writer. It's something I've always wanted to do. Definitely humbling. I mean, it's also, I've been able to give it a little bit more, obviously, because you know, right now I'm stuck in a situation where I can't do as much as I'd be wanting to do. So I got a lot of free time on my hands, and it's been incredible. And you know, I'm excited. I got to profile, you know, a bunch of people from, you know, Jackie for, you know, her story with the football, and then introducing me to Bikini Girl, which is interesting. that was an interesting interview, but yeah. And then I also profiling the fiance's brother, who's just, he's on a tear. This kid is just unreal. I mean, that's introducing Scott Simpson. I mean, that kid's a monster. And he's actually, you know, he's part of the inspiration with me going to the gym. You know, this kid came from being this meatball to just this shredded monster that is him. So I'm just, I follow his lead. But, yeah, man, the magazine's been great. I'm glad it's taken off. I'm a little upset I didn't get to go to the last party. But I know there's one scheduled for September, right? There's something going on?
September 14th. Is going to be our big 6-year anniversary event. So, you know, it's going to be the location to be announced soon. Again, you know, Give us a follow. Obviously, most of you guys follow Dave. Give me a follow at @Neem_Basha, and I will keep you posted on that. Or you follow Dave with the location will be announced soon. All the details will be announced soon, but it's going to be a rocking party September 14th. Celebrating the six-year anniversary, man. And, yeah, the magazine is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people are really responding to it. And you know what? You're part of that growth, man. And as the magazine continues to climb and continues to get bigger and continues to take over the industry, you're part of that. I mean, the magazine's 6 years, so that means you're here almost a year. So that means that's a good chunk of time that you've been, with us. So that's pretty cool, and I'm glad that we can all go on this ride together and kind of help other people out along the way. People that deserve it. That's really what I feel like. It's kind of a responsibility, even, man. When you get a certain level of success, and by no means do I think that I've arrived where I want to be. I don't think I'll ever feel like I've arrived. I'm always going to feel like just me, but. When you get to a certain level of success and notoriety, I think it's almost like a responsibility for you to kind of, put your hand out and help people get in that same door that you entered. And, the rest is up to them. I mean, I gave you an opportunity. You could have either taken it or squandered it. You took it and you ran with it, and you've been awesome. And, that's why I don't have any doubt you're going to, come on board and you're really going to experience, it's really going to be an awesome scene that you're going to experience, because production value is going to be huge. You're going to have a couple of big name stars there. And I have no doubt that you're going to run with it, because there's nothing that I've given you thus far that you haven't given, 200% to. So
now this is the 6 year anniversary party. Was the last year's party that I was at, was that the 5 year or something else?
Last year was the 5 year, right?
Okay, yeah. Right. Me and a couple of the PWS studs came up there, and you got to see these guys. They were Neanderthals. They were waiting for the people to come out. Those guys, those butler looking people with the food. They just
what?
And Steph just told me that she didn't get to eat anything, because every time somebody came out with a tray of food, leave it up to Damian Gibbs and Bowens and Mike Dell to rush the guy to the point where he couldn't even get to anybody else.
I'm part of the planning with John, and we're making sure this year there's going to be plenty of food. I promise you that.
They're making sure.
You have my word. This is recorded, right? You
can. Yeah. Well, I'm saying she can't hear you. She can't hear. But I'll just relay it. He said he's in charge of the food this year, and he said there's going to be plenty of food this year. So thumbs up from Steph.
Well, I'm not in charge of the food, but John is planning it, and I'm working with him on the planning, and we're going to make sure this year that the venue provides plenty of food. Because last year we were a little bit disappointed with the venue's delivery on what they were supposed to give, but shit like that happens in this industry all the time.
Oh,
this
yeah,
year
of course.
We're not this year's party is going to be absolutely unbelievable. I mean, the last couple of parties weren't even anniversary parties. We were just rolling out. We rolled out the June issue and the July issue, but I mean, those parties were unbelievable. The fashion shows were terrific. I mean, the girls and the guys that were modeling were just absolutely unbelievable, and the guests all had a great time. So we've mastered the art of having parties. So John is really taking it by the horns this year, and so we're definitely gonna there's gonna be food, drinks. It's gonna be a hell of a time. So
this year you'll
be staff.
Nice. All right. Well, we have another caller. I mean, dude, you get more callers than I do, and that's just now it's getting scary. But we got a 201 number. You're here with Dave Destruction and Neem. Who do I got?
My name is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. I have a question for both of you, actually, Dave.
Oh, okay, cool. Finally, somebody actually wants to talk to me. This is great. Go for it.
Well, I was wondering, I know you guys both said that you wrote in this magazine. What's the name of the magazine again?
Vicissitude.
Oh yeah. So I was wondering how you guys both like balance everything, like everything in your life and the magazine.
Neem,
you
want to
be correct, that, Dave? Go ahead. I'll chime in after.
For me, Nicole, it's a little different now because a couple months ago I tore my ACL and I'm out of work. I can't do a lot. So over the last couple of months, it's been a lot easier to manage my time and really put a lot into it. But at the time when I was juggling all this stuff between the wrestling and the work and then making real money and a real job and then you had to write, it was overwhelming. But because there's such a passion behind it, I've been writing since I can remember, since he gave me a pen and I was able to write. And now, but it's because there's so much passion behind it, you always find time. Even if I'm up in the wee hours of the night, it doesn't even matter. If the ideas are coming, I'm writing. So.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely right. You always find time. Just to paraphrase the one of my favorite fans, Tino movies, Reservoir Dogs, the words too effing busy should never be in anyone's vocabulary. In the movie, he says a waitress's vocabulary, but it really shouldn't be in anybody's vocabulary. I have, contrary to what a lot of people think, because I only promote my, on social media, I only promote my work in entertainment, I have a full-time day job, an executive position, not like a joke job, that takes up a lot of my time. I have a beautiful family. I have a wife and two children who my wife is very, my wife Jackie is very supportive, which obviously helps. And I have two boys, Jacob and Christian. They're 3 and 1. And I'm making movies and I'm writing for the magazine and et cetera, et cetera. So people say they're busy. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just not committed enough. Like they just said, there's times where I come home from my office job, and then maybe I come home at night, spend time with my family, I bathe my kids, spend time with my wife. When everybody goes to sleep, I pull out the laptop and I start writing, whenever I find time. I'm always writing in my head. So I'm commuting to work to New York and I'm coming up with the ideas in my head. So this way when I actually sit down to write, I'm already kind of, I came up with Home Invasion. I came up with that whole film while driving, the whole concept. So, there's always time. You always find time. It's not easy, but you always find time. And, if you have a good support system. And, so I'm writing in the wee hours of the night. I'm on set sometimes from, the other day I was on set from 5 in the morning until well into the evening. And, then I make some time to write. So you find time, especially, the magazine. The magazine is also a monthly magazine. I write a couple of articles. Dave writes an article. The monthly magazine, so it's, we manage to find time for it. Obviously, being the chief editor, I also not only have to write, but I also have to make sure that what they write is in English. So when I get that, I have to, make that happen. But I make it happen. You find time. I'm going to go now hang out with my family after I'm done with this. And then probably go do some writing later on tonight. That's how you got to do it. So anybody that tells you they're too busy, it's just whatever it is that they're too busy for is just not something that they really, really, really want to do. Like I don't go to the gym I used to box and whatnot. Dave, you've seen the pictures, and I don't go like I used to. And I never say I'm too busy because that's BS. If I could, if I really wanted to, I'd get up at 4 a.m. and I'd go work out. Even though the rest of the day is, I don't go like I used to. I do some home exercises and whatnot at home, but I stay fit, I eat right. But am I too busy to go to the gym? I could find time if I really, really wanted to. If it was something that I was really dedicated to. So when somebody tells you they're too busy, whatever it is they're too busy for is just not something that they're that dedicated to. So they just can't find the time for it. And you know what? That's fine. But we love to write. I know I speak for Dave and I. So we'll find the time. We'll make the time.
Absolutely. Does that answer everything, Nicole? Just to give you a little heads up.
I guess I should have asked, when do you find time to sleep, not when do you find time for the magazine, right?
well, I sleep a little better. This guy's probably too busy.
Yeah, it's okay. Now I don't feel as bad for not going to the gym.
Don't make excuses. Get your ass to the gym.
If I do find time to sleep, then that's when my kids break. Late? What are you talking about?
That's funny. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for the call. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
You have yourself a good night.
You too.
All right. We got somebody else, Neem. I'm telling you, man. This is something. This is like a record or whatever. A 201 something 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 number. You got Dave Destruction and you got Neem. Who is this?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Neem. My name's Riley.
Hi, Riley. How are you?
Hey, Riley. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
I just actually wanted to talk to Neem real quick.
I'm just going
to
hang up.
Congratulate you. I want to congratulate you on all your success, and I've been following you since the 10 bucks a ton. You started all that. But I just, real quick, I don't want to take much of your time, but, it's so hard to get into this industry. Do you have any advice for people who are looking to get into this type of industry? How would they go about it?
Well, if they have no background in the industry, the first step is probably to meet me, because if they have any kind of talent, I will fit them in. I will fit them in some kind of way. I'm proud to say I have a long list of people that will be character witnesses to that. But if they can't meet me, if you want, depending on what it is that you want to do, if you want to write.
What
in particular, give me for instance, I don't know if you're talking about yourself in particular or if it's just a general question, so what in particular in this industry, writing?
Acting in particular, and, you have such great success with, this industry, so I figured if anybody are inspiring to be where you are today, what would they have to do?
Well, acting, there's first thing that they need to do is learn to be patient, because there's not going to be a lot of, it's not going to be great quick, and Dave can vouch for that, especially with the wrestling. There's a lot of tools out there that are really good for, you Google and find your favorite one, but there's some really good schools out there that provide acting training, and you have to just continue to hone your craft and really just kind of keep working. You got to keep working. You're gonna be working for free. You're even gonna be paying to work a lot of times. You're not actually gonna be paying them to work, but you're gonna be paying to commute from in Jersey to New York and putting your car in a parking lot in New York. And, at the end of the day, you realize you just spent 40 bucks or 50 bucks to park your car and drive and eat. I mean, you didn't get paid, also that you can get that credit and also you can get that. And it's going to be a lot of trial and error. And, like the actors that worked with me on 10 bucks, man, they busted their butts. I mean, one cat in particular, Dartell McCray, he played Jonathan Jones. I mean, there's a scene where he's got to trip and fall down. And, we didn't have stunt doubles. He was tripping and falling down on New York City pavement probably about 12 times. And I'm yelling at him that he's doing it wrong. And he's falling down. also that he can be part of this project. And, when it got out there, all these actors came to me and said, thank you so much for letting me be part of this. And none of them walked away, with a huge payday, but they're thanking me. Meanwhile, I'm thanking them for bringing those characters to life the way I wanted them to be brought. So there is that reciprocity, but these actors have to be very, very patient. I mean, I see some of the guys I've worked with, they're on a lot of shows. They're on I don't know if you've ever seen the Tana O'Reilly ID, where it has all those like mysteries and a lot of the actors are on there, and you know, you're on that show. You're there all day. You got to bring your own wardrobe. They pay you like $50 for the whole day. You know, and now they're splitting that pay with their agent, and you know, so they walk away with nothing, but they got to be on TV, and they got to tell people, "Hey, check me out on TV." And it's all about building that perception in this industry and building your brand. And being really, really, really patient, because I don't want to say I was lucky, because that would kind of belie the hard work that I put into everything. But I did work hard.
Because
but
I
it
see
happened.
You all over. I see you all over social media, and it seems that it was so easy. But you know, I guess it wasn't, and I'm sure you went through a lot of struggles, but, you know, a lot of people think that they're going to be overnight successes, but, you know, I just wanted to know what kind of, you know, how fast it was for you, or...
Yeah, no, it went relatively fast for me in terms of, you know, but I also put in that much more work, and I also created the product. You know, I wasn't, you know, when you're an actor, you know, Dave, you have to wait for people to call you to work with them. You know, you have to go to not that you you look up the castings and you apply and all that stuff, but they have to call you and you'll go to audition, but they have to actually call you to cast you. I actually had the product, the film, ready to be made. Where I would say I was lucky is that I had Mike and Oscar to bring their resources to the table, and the three of us bringing our talent to the table and our resources to the table were able to kind of bust our butts, and me individually and us collectively bust our butts. Not everyone, however, has a contact that they can say, hey, let's team up and do this. Like, you know, I have people that team up. And which is exactly why, Dave, I have the attitude that I have, Riley, which is I want to be there for people. I want to help people get in this industry. And I met a girl. I was out with my wife eating, and I was sitting, Dave, next to you. You remember Mike Rizzo from 103.5?
Yeah, he's a
producer. And he's, so, you know, I'm talking to him, and he's sitting there with this young lady and her family that she's starting out. And she belts out Adele, Rolling in the Deep. Adele, and she nailed it. I was like, wow, you're really talented. You're fabulous, you know. And I told her, I said, listen, are you looking, you know, so Mike's telling me she wants to get into acting also. So I said, listen, because and the guy, I know the owner of the restaurant, Mike Sciarra, Valentino's on Park, cheap plug, great restaurant in Rutherford, New Jersey. And he says, this guy, you know, he's awards and, you know, all these movies. Oh, I want to get into acting. So I told him, I said, listen, I'm doing these films now. They're already casted. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, oh, come audition. They're already casted for the roles. But if you want to get an IMDb credit, if you want to, you know, be on set, if you want to be part of the production, by all means, you can come be an extra. I'll reach out to you. So, you know, we exchanged contact information, and that was it. And when the time rolled around, a couple of months later, we were going to start production, I reached out to her. And I told my assistant director, listen, send her the call sheet for the pharmacy scene, and, you know, she can come, and she can be one of the customers in the pharmacy, and she got some good camera time. And that day, that really made my day the most, she came with her mother. She's this, you know, cute little 17-year-old, your 17-year-old girl, just kind of wet behind the ears, trying to start out. She's got this adorable mom, and her mom is standing there, and she says to me, thank you so much for this. She says, we didn't think you were going to call. And I said, but I told you I'd call. She said, yeah, but, you know, people say things. We're doing this now a little while. We're trying to get a foot in the door, and you know, people say things and they don't follow up. So when you called, it was like, wow, he's actually calling. He's actually following through on what he said he was going to do. I mean, this is a guy we just met.
Right.
In a restaurant.
I wish there was more people in the industry like you.
And, you know, but that to me, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Riley. But that really makes my day. That if this girl becomes a shooting star, and you know, I know I had something to do with that. That makes my day. When Dave becomes a Pulitzer Prize winner, and our magazine, The Sister Tude, is what got his foot in the door, then you know what? That's great for me. And to hear that, especially from her mom, looking me in the eye and saying, thank you so much, you know, and I get that feedback, and that's just, you know, that's what it's all about. And I could have done this had I not had people that I can turn to and say, hey, what do you think? Let's do this. And we kind of did it together as a team, but still, I needed their help. And people need my help now, and I'm in a position to help them. So anybody, like I said, anybody that needs anything, again, I'm plugging the hell out of my Instagram and Twitter, but it's also because I want you guys to follow me, because I want that feedback. You know, I don't just want the numbers. Hey, look at me. I have 3,000 followers on Instagram. I don't care if it's useless. I want the feedback. I want people that will say, hey, you know, when's the film coming out? Or people that are going to say, hey, can you help me? And I will help you in any way that I can. If you bring something to the table, then I will make sure that you get a seat at the table.
So I'm going to try to cut you off here, but what we're seeing here live on the Thursday Night Destruction is Riley will be casted for the 10-buck baton sequel. Is that where we're going with this? Or because this is what we're looking at
Riley,
here. But,
Riley's going to be casted.
Thanks,
Beam.
I'll private message you on Facebook.
There you go.
Okay,
just like that.
Private message me on Facebook, and follow me if you're not on Instagram and Twitter at Neem Basha, N-E-E-M underscore B-A-S-H-A. And, yes, I already have, you know, I'm already plotting in my long commutes to New York. I'm plotting 10 buck two. So, you know, keep an eye out for that.
There you go.
So
I'm going to be in the sequel, too.
We might have to get Dave a bigger part for that.
Absolutely.
Dave might be a love interest, Riley, in that movie.
There you go.
You sound cute, Riley. So Dave might be your love interest. He's a stud.
Atta boy, Neem. That's how you do it, brother. But thank you so much for the call, Riley. Have it yourself.
No
a great
problem.
Night. Hopefully.
Thank you guys very much. And Neem, I really hope that you know you continue your success. You're on your way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Awesome stuff from Riley. And dude, Neem, my God, bro, it's like. I'm looking at the stream here, this little thing. It says you have 6 minutes left. Do you know how fast all this shit just went? My God. Oh, well, that's good, man. You know, it's great because I knew it was going to get a response like it did. And that's as far as you helping people. I'm one of the victims of your help. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of guys out there trying to break into certain fields. And if you can help them, you can help them. That's the same thing I do with the pro wrestling. I encourage guys, like, just go to the school, check it out. I can't wrestle for you, but at least give it a shot. Here's your opportunity. Go join PWS. Same thing with you. You know, I'll send you a couple writing samples. If you're dog shit, you're dog shit. If you're good, you'll use it. You know what I mean? And same thing goes, I guess, for the actors and actresses, which I believe is probably, if not the most cutthroat business ever. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, somebody like Riley, I don't know this girl from a hole in the wall, but I'm saying she's probably trying to get into it. You know, she's trying to network herself. And look, she took advantage of just calling in a Thursday night podcast, and who knows, man, she could be the next, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. But, I mean, that's awesome that you're always, it seems like you've always put in somebody else before you, but at the same time, remaining humble and remaining successful, you know, going into all this stuff. And that's actually my final question to you before this all wraps up. You got Home Invasion, you got Repentance, 10 buck baton is winning awards, the magazine's taking off. What's next? I know you're not content. What's next?
Yeah, no, I'm not content. Right now we got to wrap the films that we're working on now, so there's really no, you know, of course, with the magazine, you got the big anniversary issue coming up. And as far as the films, man, yeah, I have. Once we're wrapped with these, I would like to get started in the fall, or you know, maybe early next year with other projects. I got other tons of other ideas and stories and you know, a lot of crowd-pleasing stuff. The what's next in the immediate future, you know, sometime in August, you want to look out for it. You'll see it on my social media, on obviously my Facebook, Neem Basha, and the you know, with the Drink Up, Freak Out music video that I directed recently, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's got a fun little story, but it's also a sexy sort of dance video. So that's kind of the imminent future. Looking a little bit further ahead, you got September, the magazine, September 14th, the big party. A little bit further ahead of that is the Pants and Home Invasion. They're going to be in the can. And I'm going to go out on a limb, Dave, and I'm going to say these films, either collectively or even individually, are going to be better and more successful than 10 Bucks a Ton. And
I can definitely see that, man. The following is there, bro, you know?
And the you know, the anticipation is there, and I mm-hmm. and that's what I, you know, that's what I did with Tembuck. I mean, I let people follow the film from its infancy, and they got to know these actors. You know, they got to know them behind the scenes. They got to know their smiles. They got to know them, their takes. You know, by the time the film came out, there was a palpable desire to see it. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping with these films, and I think they're going to do better. And then hopefully while they're in the festival circuit, more eyes will be open, and more people will come and say, hey, we want you to do our music video. We want you to do, you know, we want to work on a film with you. And
yeah.
And the bigger that we get, and this team that I'm building now, which includes you, which includes, you know, Jamal Easley, our assistant director, and the DPs, Jamal Green and Wilson. And I mean, this team that we're building now is going to be hopefully a team moving forward. And people come to us, we've got this awesome team ready. Because as you can imagine, a couple of years passed between 10 Buck per Ton and now. So some of the people that were on the crew kind of either fell out of the industry, fell by the wayside. And now we're building this really strong, solid crew. And moving forward, man, we're going to take over Montage Cinema. That's our company, at Montage Cinema. We're also on Facebook, so like the page. And it's, you know, we're just going to keep rocking and rolling, man. And I'm going to keep writing and directing and you know, so next year we will be on that red carpet again. We will be on the big screens with two great films, and we are going to be hopefully in production again next year with something else.
That sounds great, man. And obviously, he's plugged his Instagram and Facebook. Definitely give him a follow. Give Montage Cinemas a follow. There's so much stuff going on. Neem, dude, I can't thank you enough as I try to wrap this up. But thank you so much for coming on. It was probably the most interesting show I've done. And I mean, I know I haven't done a lot, but this is definitely educational and informative. And I just want to thank you for coming on, man.
No, yeah, you're the best, man. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate your work ethic, and I think that's why you and I kind of gel, because, you know, when we were telling, what was that, not Riley, the call, Nicole, the other caller, mm-hmm. that one thing that we have in common, man, is that we got to do things in the wee hours of the night. We got to, you know,
yeah.
We have that commitment, and that's something that that we have in common. I mean, I have a tremendous respect for what it is that you do, but just the fact that you bust your ass, and I think that's the common ground that you and I personally found, which is why I think we work together really well. And I think that the way the mutual respect comes in, and dare I say our friendship even comes in. I'm friends with Dave Destruction. I'm proud to say that.
Absolutely.
So this has been an honor for me, brother.
Thank you so very much. We're actually in overtime here, folks. And but actually, again, I appreciate it. You're the man, all the opportunities you've presented me with. Anybody needs to go follow this guy. The journey of making all these movies, it's been insane. So, again, Neem, thank you so much. We will obviously talk outside of this, and let's get rolling with a couple of these things. All right, man?
Absolutely. Anybody who needs to reach me, anybody who needs anything, like I said, if you bring anything to the table, I will see to it that you have a seat at the table. Anything within my power, man, that's part of the pleasure of what I do. So
absolutely.
Anybody who needs anything, be sure to be in touch.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll talk. All right, man. Thank you so much again.
All right, Dave. You're the man. Thanks again, brother.
All right, Neem. All right, that's Neem. Again, I told you we're in overtime. Quick note before I wrap it up. That was probably the coolest interview ever. Thank you so much for all the calls. A quick note, and, you know, I don't like ending anything on a sad note or whatever, but a loyal fan of the show, a loyal fan of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Kathy Hummer, I'm very sorry for your loss of your father. I've been following that, you know, as you've been posting. Prayers are with you, as always. Always a big supporter of you guys as much as you support us. So sorry for your loss. God bless you, Kath. And we will see you guys next week. And, yeah, we'll take it home.